Welcome to the International Schools Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Taylor, and on the podcast, we discuss all aspects of technology and life in international schools, with new episodes live every 2 weeks. We focus on people currently working in international schools, and we talk about life in their current country, and then we dive into some specific topics. The podcast is sponsored by AppsEvent. We're a Google for Education partner and made up of former educators, all experts in helping schools integrate Google into their schools and classrooms. All training is customized for every school to make sure it has lasting impact. We're also experts on online virtual Google training, and we can deliver all our certification boot camps and training completely online to schools. We have teams in Europe and the Middle East, Asia and the US, and we can help you wherever you are. Check it out over at appsevents.com. We're also delighted to say we're now an ISTE partner, and we're delivering the ISTE Certified Educator worldwide with our subsidiary, AE Learning. ISTE certification is a pedagogy-focused, vendor-neutral, professional certification aimed at educators wishing to transform their edtech practice. We run two-day certification boot camps, which are amazing fun, great networking, and will give you a huge boost both to your career and for your school. Get all the info at aelearninglab.com. Finally, the podcast is brought to you by Acer for Education. People ask us what Chromebooks and Windows laptops we recommend for schools, and after literally trying them all, we always recommend Acer. If you'd like to get more information, please just leave your email at gg.gg/Acer Education and we'll get straight back to you. We go to Acer HQ in Taiwan every year to be part of product discussions, and they are genuinely the best thought out, cost effective and durable devices out there. And now, on to the interview. Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm talking with former educator, now entrepreneur in Finland, called Mika Anundi. So Mika, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks. Nice to be here.
Yeah, we got talking. We met at a summit. It must be 3 years ago now, I guess, probably. And we got similar taste in music. You like a lot of punk and hardcore, and we both played in bands.
I think it was my Ignite hoodie that.
Pennywise t-shirt on, if you can see today. I saw Ignite actually in Prague, like last time they played. I guess it was last year. So yeah, I like them a lot. And he sang in Pennywise for a while actually as well on the One album.
Yeah, he did.
So, we got talking, and we just got in touch because obviously you started a game, some really interesting Chromebook stuff. So I want to talk about that, and also, you know, I'm doing kind of a series of talks with, I call it educator entrepreneurs. We actually started a Facebook group for people who, you know, teachers who have an entrepreneurial project, and maybe they stay working as a teacher and they do this as a side project, and sometimes like you, they leave and chase after it full time. So it'd be great to talk about you. Now, first of all, like, I'm keen to know about your background. Like, you worked for Vanta, where we held the summit for like 9 years. Like, what did you do, like, starting in the beginning, and then what was your career in teaching?
Well, I'm an elementary school teacher from my heart, from the bottom. You know, I studied in university, and I hit the school and started doing things like the others do in the school. Like in university, we were doing things with Google Drive, and we were actually, our master's degree we wrote at Google Docs. It was just recently started, and we collaborated with my partner. We were at the own apartments, and we wrote the master's degree and the same page anyway. So when I hit the school, things were really from other ages, so old things at school, and we couldn't use those tools that I've used to. So when I started teaching, I had to like jump to another world, and I was really frustrated for a long time that I couldn't use those cool tools and use the gamification and stuff like that. Sure. And we didn't have the tools and stuff.
Yeah. Sure. Now, actually, at this point, I wanted to talk about, like, now, for a lot of people listening, people have heard about,
the Finnish education system being one of being very good. I mean, it often gets compared. I think Singapore and Finland are usually ranked at the top. Like, could you give an overview of like what are the reasons? Like, what's special about the curriculum and the way of teaching in Finland? You think that gives it this kind of world reputation?
Well, everything I'll say, it's just an opinion.
Yeah, sure.
It's really hard to, you know, this is not the best subject for all the teachers to talk about, but I really have a strong opinion about this. And I got my opinion from teaching from the school that is in really, really troubled neighborhood near Helsinki. And I think it's the cheapest place to live. Near Helsinki. If you want to live nearby train, that is the cheapest place. And my school was in the middle of those big buildings in there. And also from that, I've been with troubled kids there. And also I've met a lot of educators around the world from like Comenius projects and meeting other Google trainers and stuff. And I've seen how they teach around the world. So every time I meet like teachers from other countries, they have like as cool as ideas as we have, and they do things really cool. But then I find out that there is this another school in the same country that they do not have these things. So who I met from another countries are not the basic things that are happening there.
I've known that for years, like, because you go to, I always go to conferences and you meet these people doing cool things, and then but that's the people who have that innovative attitude are the people who go to the conferences and show it. That's not everybody, you know.
Yeah, in Finland, if you are really like good teacher and you are really innovative, you don't like get to pick coolest school in some cool place where the kids are peaceful and so on, but you just get to go somewhere, you get the same salary and you work there and do your best. I think that's the biggest thing, like in social democratic attitude for education, that all the schools should have like best professionals. Of course, it will happen that teacher will come to the school and spend a year and see that this school is not for me because the job is harder some places. But also I think the attitude of the teachers that they think that we are professionals, like in the hardest schools, the teachers really think that we're not doing this for money, we are doing this because we are the professionals who can do this thing here.
Yeah.
So when we put our like biggest bets on the places where the education is most needed, that is the way to raise the PISA things, and when you raise the lower end of the score,
sure,
then you get the good scores.
That's a good point. There's also some things in terms of like you know, using flipped classrooms and things, which has been happening in Finland for a long time, from my understanding, you know, in terms of, and also teaching, you know, teaching multiple subjects together in a kind of holistic way, things like that as well, I've heard.
Yeah, and there are like many teachers that think that these things will ruin the education in Finland. It's not that the secret is not something special. Every teacher can do their teaching in their own way. For example, my boy is in the school here, and their teachers never used any cloud things or any Google Meets or Microsoft things. But now when the corona thing started and quarantine started and the kids were on the remote learning, it really hit their faces, and they had to learn those things. But this teacher had been without those things for like 20 years.
Because is it true that in Finland, the teachers have a lot more freedom to decide?
Yeah. Independence is really, really huge.
Yeah. And I also heard that in Finland, I mean, the kind of status of teachers in society generally is quite high. I'm not sure if there's some historical reason, but that's one thing. You know, the status of teachers varies a lot country to country. But what's the reasons you think in Finland it's high?
Yeah, I think it's mostly historic. thing, it is still pretty high because it's pretty wanted profession. When you look at the university, the people who coming in university, young people, students, the elementary school teacher program at university is one of the most hardest to get, because right. there's so many people who want to go there, because it's like pretty easygoing job, what you think as a young person, yeah, but and a good holidays and stuff like that. So I think that's one big reason that it's almost as hard to get to study a thing as for example doctors and stuff. So
right. Interesting. And so back to your story. So you worked as an elementary teacher, and how did your job role change like over time as you were a teacher? Because you were there like 9 years, I guess.
Yeah, I was mostly like interested in IT things, of course, music and so on. But the IT things like catch me up really, really hard. And I did some special things like with Google tools before we had the permission. Like we didn't have the Google for education, but I still used my own Gmail stuff, and the other teachers wanted to hear about it too. And when we were told to use this system, you know, Fronter from Norway, it was called, I think it's learning or something product. Yeah, sure. Really, really small product that we had to use because the city was paying for it. So we had to use this tool that was from the 80s, like from the Commodore or something. The UI was really, really hard. So I was like fighting against those things. So then I started to teach other teachers, like my colleagues, and I got this like extra job. We have this system like tutor teachers. We're doing like multiple schools. I have like Thursdays free time, and then I go to another school and meet another teacher, and I can show him like this is how you use this robotics thing or programming stuff. So the role started to shift from the elementary school teacher to trainer. But I think that was like the best time to train others when you were doing things also on your own class. Like I was still doing like 4 days at class. I was doing like things like basic teaching and IT things. And then I went to teach others. So I had like this firsthand knowledge about those new things that I've really tried out.
Yeah, you had the firsthand experience.
Yeah, now of course the all the tools and all the computers that came. City of Vantaa in Finland, actually the Finnish teachers even do not know this fact, but City of Vantaa is the biggest like IT city when thinking about education, because of the Samsung deal. They just bought Samsung tablets for I think it was the half of the students. So if you had 400 pupils, then you get the 200 Samsung tablets. And the teachers like were never asked, like, what do you need? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course, there were professionals who, like professional teachers, who were asked that what is the thing right now. But the main thing was that there were these devices that came to the school. And they were like many, and all the school had the same devices. Like next school, you know, the teachers from the another school, and they have the same devices. It really started like gathering up the information and knowledge and training. Everyone like started to find out things what you can do with these. And yeah. Then another way was the Chromebooks, the like biggest thing that happened. When we got the Chromebooks at the school, the same system, like 200 Chromebooks for the 400 student school. So then I could like tell the principal that we get these Chromebooks, and all the fourth graders, fifth graders, sixth graders, they will get their own computer, and they will put it on the backpack and sure. use it at home. And then it really like opened up.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I always look at, obviously I'm a Chromebook fan, but I think for most use cases, especially the convertible Chromebooks compared to a tablet is a much better device and often cheaper as well. You know, if you have, you know, the convertible Chromebooks, you can use it as a tablet in most cases pretty well, you know, and I always think that's a good choice for even for elementary schools.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is that you have the device one by one, you know, you have, everyone has their own device. And the leader of the one city of Vantaa Education, he said that if the home does not have the computer, the government should offer the computer because it is so big thing in the future to know to use these things. So government has to offer all the pupils their own computer. So when I was at this neighborhood, I told the principal that the leader said that we have to give them the computer. So we just put it on their backpack, and in the end it was really easy because it's like the personal device. You charge it at home when you sleep, and the battery lasts the whole day, and you keep your own device. It will not break because you know which one is yours. And
was the project successful? Did the school like bring in more Chromebooks, or did they stick with a small group of initial ones?
Yeah, the school started buying more Chromebooks, yeah, also. And when this remote learning happened, I've talked with many teachers. They've told me that it was really, really good idea to start the thing early, like give them the computers and learn these things.
Great. Now back to your story. I'm really curious. Like, how did your job change, and when did you start working on your game, your game developing and things as well while you were still a teacher?
Yeah. Well, we were playing World of Warcraft with my student friend at university, and when I started as teacher, I was also playing World of Warcraft, and these kids were playing RuneScape. Yeah. And I saw the engagement aspect, and I also did my bachelor's degree paper about this gamification. And there was this book called "Mom, Don't Bother, I'm Learning," like about playing these games. And everyone has seen like Minecraft and things going on now. But I was really interested and frustrated about that gap between the thing that the kids have, like really cool iPhones and phones, they can do things, but at school we like cannot work with those. I had like ideas already when it happened, when we had this 101, we had this tablets and Chromebooks. So I have been thinking about what things I would do. And when it happened, I really started like doing things fast. So we first thing we got these computers. We got three fifth grades, and we got three teachers, and we decided that we will like combine the like mathematics and Finnish language and geography. Yeah. So each of the teachers takes one subject, and we will build all the things at Google Classroom. So I took mathematics, and I built all the mathematics things on the Google Classroom. I made the videos about how you solve this problem and how you do things and all the forms, exams, and stuff like that.
And so you developed these yourself then, did you, in the beginning?
Yeah, but we had like Finnish books. These Finnish school books are really good. They're really, really good that you can give the book for a smart kid, and he can like learn things by himself.
Sure.
So we still use the books, but we use the Chromebooks and technology to like flip the learning, like flip it away. So these two.
Were you developing these games in Android in the Play Store, or where were you? What platform were you developing for?
We're developing for the Chromebooks, because the Chromebooks cannot really use the applications, so everything is browser based.
Sure.
We use the WebGL technology to run it on the browser, so no need to download anything. So it's really optimal for Chromebook. When you open the new Chromebook, you can go to the website and everything works.
And do you make like a Chrome extension or anything like that? Or you just people just go to the website and run it?
Just a website, yeah. No, we don't want any plugins. It's so much easier for the teacher to not to install anything.
Sure. So what was you made this first game. Was this just something you were giving away for free in the beginning, or how did this happen?
Yeah, it was like the first simple idea about the Flappy Bird, where you can pick up the answers.
Yeah.
They're like multiple choice question answers. So we were developing it for our MVP, and then this Corona time started, and we decided that we can like push it on the Play Store anyway.
Yeah.
It's really, really easy when we are using this Unity programming engine. It's really easy to develop for any platform. So it's like a couple of buttons to change the platform. So
cool. Now obviously, I'm interested in this. You know, like I mentioned, I've started a Facebook group for educator entrepreneurs. Like, how did you go from this being like a side project when you were a teacher to sort of making it a business that you could leave and go to school with? Like, what was the transition? I mean, did you get any kind of funding, or did you just fund it all yourself, or what was the background?
Yeah, it happened really fast. I actually, in between these things, I was a project manager at the European Union funded project. I was teaching programming for unemployed people. So this unemployed.
You actually left the school and did this, or this was?
Yeah, for one year. So I got this I was a project leader there, so I had some like experience about those things, and also I learned so much more from programming and stuff myself when I was teaching it, and then I met some right people. But it was the funding thing is not easy even now. Because we started at like January, we really started to find out people who could fund us.
Yeah.
But when we were going with idea, and this is like an educational idea, the first thing from the like angel investor or venture capital is that the money comes from the government, so it is not certain and it is not plenty of. So they don't want to invest on the education business if they want to make money. But the impact educators are the another group who want to really change the world and do something good with their money. So you really need to find those people. And
there's a lot of education software companies that make a huge amount of money as well. I mean, I think they're wrong in some ways because...
Yeah, they are. They don't know those things. But they just look for the numbers and percentage. But yeah, we managed to like meet some people who told us that you only have this idea and these people. No, we're not giving you the money. You need to do this and this and this thing. Prove us like wrong. So they didn't like say that their idea is bad, but they say that we should really produce it more.
And did you have any revenue, or you were still just giving these games for free at this time, or were you actually selling them?
Nothing's open yet. We're running an MVP test right now sign in at lorugames.com, and his teacher can go
lorugames.com. This is an audio podcast, people can see it, but definitely I'll put a link in the show notes, people can look at it.
So you can go to the ambassador program, and we're picking up some people around the world to test the MVP, and we're collecting the ideas to improve the things. And it's really, really not ready yet, but I think in these days nothing's really ready ever.
Sure.
And it cannot be. If I say it's ready, then I stop working with it.
Well, that's the great thing about web-based software, web-based games.
You
constantly. It's not. And so how did the story end with the funding? Did you get funding, or did you give up on that, or are you still looking, or how did it end?
Well, there's this European fund also in Finland. It's the government called Business Finland. They get the European Union money, and they took in the applications, and we gathered 30,000 euros, our own money. Not so big money, but anyways, like we are 10 people now, and we put our own money, and then we got like 50,000 from European Union through this Business Finland. So we had to do like application and business plans for them and prove that we are really doing this. And we now have some things we need to prove for them. For example, test marketing at the US. So we have this good thing that we have somebody who like has our back, that they are telling us what we have to do. So sure. They're looking for that. So,
and so how is it good? Like, how many people are involved in this project then?
We are actually 12 or 13, but we are full time. We are 3 people now.
So I'm curious, like for all of the guys who are full time, I mean, are you still, I mean, obviously everyone needs to make some income to live. Like, are you working as, I know you've done some Google training. Are you doing training as kind of a side project while you do this? Or are you just kind of, because it's interesting when people do an entrepreneur project, do you go all in or do you also look for other things to keep the income going?
For myself, I'm doing some trainings, but we are trying to keep it like, really doing this, concentrating on doing this thing. So because the timeline is so small, it's so short, we have only 6 months to prove these things for the Business Finland that we get the money.
How would you describe this the game and the MVP you've got? Like what would it, how would you describe it to a potential user?
Well, I want to show you my screen, so it's a bit easier to explain things.
Sure. But we'll still have to explain, like I say, because it's an audio podcast, so we'll have to.
I'll explain on the way. So we have this page where the teacher goes and he will sign in with Google and goes in the portal and he will start doing the questions. There are plenty of this multiple choice question based things on the web, you know, the usual things. But we have already made this thing where you can add the questions and things here, and you manage your class, and you can set up these multiple sets on the same time. So these products that are web apps that are now running, they do not gather your student as a group. So we have like that students come here with the Google account. So we have like in a classroom, they are in a group. So you can find out data about them in the long run. Yep. So we have this example charts here that we will start building, like that this kid has done this English exam or this questionnaire or something. And
sure.
But the base thing is that when you make the question set, then you can invite your students to your group, and your students go to this page where we now have these 8 example projects and these questions that, which questions do I have now? I'm not sure which ones I'm testing all the time. So a teacher has done the questions.
So this is really a platform. The teacher can make their own questions and their own questions. Yours is like a platform for them to do whatever they want, basically.
Yeah. Whatever kind of questions, and the kids go to these games.
Yeah,
and
there's like kind of junk backgrounds and things. That's what I'm watching now.
Yeah, there's this question on the top, and then in game there are these choices. So there is always the gaming also. So you need to know how to
game on screen while they're kind of looking at a multiple choice question.
So it's like learning in you are not focusing the learning, you know.
Sorry,
you are not focusing on the learning. You are focusing on the gaming.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
it happens in the surprising you by yeah. surprise, you know.
Yeah, I mean the you're basically tricking in a good way, you know.
Yeah, yes. So you need to concentrate on the game to
apply into the right answer. Yeah. As well. That's great. And it's really, really good. You've got some really nice graphics there as well.
Yeah, yeah. Our artist is really, really a piece of treasure.
Apply the character into the correct answer.
So as you can see, I have really long questions here, and this is one of the tests that we've been testing the text boxes and stuff. But I don't think you have time to read these questions.
I probably think so fast. It's in Finnish. Oh, here we go. This is English. Following contributes to global sea levels. It's too fast for me to read. Yeah.
But actually, I knew this answer because I've been playing this a bit. So this way you will learn things so well that it's in like in your spine.
Oh, okay, so it's deliberate to happen too fast. So they
it'll go so fast in the end. The games are always like different. So in this game it goes really fast, and in this game you have like time to think about the answer, but
people not watching, there's multiple games and multiple choice questions, but they're all mixed into different games, and you can select the game which you put your questions into. But you can put the same questions into any one of these games, basically.
Yes. Yeah. That's what happens when you ask your students to go to this page. You cannot pick which game they play, but you can pick the questions.
Got it. Or they can choose the game themselves.
Yeah, they can choose the game if they like this like slower game or faster game, and which one they prefer or which one they prefer today.
Sure. That's great. Now, how many schools are currently using this? How many schools are currently working with this, these games?
Well, not so many. There's just quite Finland we have like summer holidays right now. Yeah. We had 4 schools at Finland at the remote learning time, but it was really hard for teachers to bring new things at this time when of the remote learning. They told me that even if these teachers were really good with IT, they told me that when the remote learning started, their kids at home, they do not do so many things. They don't have
the motivation or they don't
they don't have the motivation to do so many things during the day. So these really good IT teachers, they turned back to basics. So they say they cut everything extra. Right. So these teachers tried to give this to test with those students, but the students just didn't do the things, you know?
Great. Like, so Mika, so just to finish off, I know we're coming to the end of our chat. Like, what do you see as like the next step for you? Like, what are you hoping for? Because obviously it's really interesting. We're talking to you in kind of the middle of your entrepreneurial journey. It'd be good to come back and catch up how things have gone. But what are you hoping for in the next few months?
Well, next few months will be really rush with these games. We'll be like concentrating to really bring quality games. Like, we don't want that first testers in fall will be like this, that the kids will say that I don't want to play, this is really bad game. So we're making these games really good. So next thing I will be doing this one flying game. for our company, I think we were looking for this answer. The next step will be to bring this for free for all the students and all the teachers around the world. So I will be looking for these ambassador teachers.
Sure.
And when I get enough and when the MVP is ready, I will open it up for the ambassador teachers and tell them to share it around the world on social media and so on.
Please, like, contact us. We'll share it on the Apps Events website, and we've got a lot of calls on Twitter. So just make sure you get in touch.
Yeah, sure. Do that. Yeah, and so you can follow us on LinkedIn and sign in on the ambassador program. So we
sounds good. I'll follow you on LinkedIn. Look, Mika, it was really great to chat and really interesting to see your entrepreneurial project. I wish you all the best of luck with it. I'm sure it's gonna go well. And anything else you want to promote? Any links you want people to take a look at?
Well, not really, but greetings from Aleksandr Ahtiainen from I met her this morning.
Okay. See,
I'm talking about you and about
fantastic, great. How are you
doing?
Okay, cool.
Really cool that you're doing this thing also, and I really checked out your previous podcast, and there were some really interesting things. I'm going to look afterwards.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun doing the podcasting. It's a long term mm-hmm. project, you know, and there's no money in it, but it's a lot of, you get to meet a lot of interesting people and different things come of it, you know. So it's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Anyways, when you're doing this business, you're anyways talking with people, like
exactly
meeting new people. Why not to record it and give it
exactly. for them? Yeah. You have all these conversations, and I'm always, I wish I'd recorded that. We talked about some really interesting things, you mm-hmm. know, and this topic. Like teacher entrepreneurs, that's why I started the Facebook group, is because a lot of teachers are doing kind of, you know, side project in all different kind of things. A lot of people mm-hmm. developing games, developing apps. There's people who are writing books, or they're even just being a freelance trainer and training, you know, doing online training for students or for teachers. So it's a big thing, you know, and I think that it's only going to get bigger, you know. Definitely in a lot of countries, job security isn't the same as it used to be. So people are thinking more of having an entrepreneurial mindset as well. You know?
Yeah, and it's a special case. When you Google how to start an edtech business, the first things you will find out is to hire a teacher.
Yeah.
So what I've seen in Finland, these edtech startups that start in Finland, they do not really have the teacher specialist in their crew. So they're starting with IT people, and they're bringing these things at school. They're bringing like really crazy 3D and VR and stuff like this, like thinking that this is something that the school needs.
Yeah.
But it's just it's in the idea that this is something that kids need to know, but it's completely different thing that teacher wants to have.
Yeah,
the teacher
exactly.
wants to have like basic tools with to cope with, like for our thing is giving teacher so much more free time to go around to the class when the kids are engaged on something.
Yeah, and that's what teachers have to realize, is they have a huge advantage when it comes to if they're starting a product or a service that's focused on teachers. The fact that they are a teacher and they know what people teachers want and they know what schools want is a huge, like you can't underestimate how big an advantage that is, you know, in terms of doing this kind of business. Great, Mika, thank you very much.
And hey, thanks, you, Dan.
We'll follow up in like 6 months or something, and we can see how things are going.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.